The Democrat open borders plan to entrench single-party rule, explained in under 2 minutes. 1. Flood the country with untold millions of illegals by land, sea, and air from all over the world. Enough to eclipse the populations of 36 individual U.S. states so far. 2. Prioritize the needs of these millions of non-citizens over the needs of the American citizen, with free flights, buses, hotels, meals, and phones, ensuring their loyalty to the political party that imported them. 3. Keep them in the country at all costs, even when they commit violent crime like murder and rape. Attack the language used to describe the criminals, as opposed to the criminals themselves. Slander critics as racist. 4. Ensure their privileges are made irrevocable with city and state sanctuary laws that act as population magnets. Codify permanent status and ensure non-cooperation with ICE. 5. Count the non-citizens in the census that will determine congressional apportionment in the House of Representatives. As of now, that would equal 13 extra congressional districts, a tremendous amount of electoral power. 6. Wage a massive, heavily funded lawfare campaign to change state voting laws that legalize mass mail-in ballots, no signature verification, and no proof of citizenship requirements, making it nearly impossible to prove voter fraud. 7. Lock in the permanent voting majority with campaign promises of lavish benefits and permanent privileges, enshrining generational fealty to the Democrat Party. 8. Win elections. 9. Entrenched single-party rule has been achieved. The best part? Your tax dollars are paying for it.
Yo! Good evening, everyone. I'm back here with another episode of Dystopia for you guys. On today's episode, I'll be going over the New York Times new opinion piece, Deep State is Actually Awesome. Wow, wouldn't you believe that? Also, the invasion at the southern border and what it means to be an American in that context and what I'm thinking there. Also, the middle children of history, which you'll hear a little piece coming up and what I think about that and what that means in today's climate and culture. And then finally, I go over what I believe to be where we're at in the modern conservative Republican Party, Israel First versus America First. AKA the struggle sessions with Candace Owens, and I digress from there. All right, hope you enjoy. But first, some Fight Club for you.
Fight Club, the strongest and smartest men who've ever lived. I see all this potential, and I see squandering. God damn it, an entire generation pumping gas, waiting tables, slaves with white collars. Advertising has us chasing cars and clothes, working jobs we hate so we can buy shit we don't need. We're the middle children of history, man. No purpose or place. We have no great war, no great depression. Our great war is a spiritual war. Our great depression is our lives. Raised on television to believe that one day we'd all be millionaires and movie gods and rock stars, but we won't. We're slowly learning that fact. We're very, very pissed off.
Yeah. Welcome to Dystopia, where the line is thin between the truth and the lies.
Yo! Man, feeling pretty good tonight. Welcome back, everyone. Been a long time. I hope everyone's doing well. So let's get started. On today's episode, I promised I would talk about what we just heard, which is the middle children of history. And I remember when I first actually started the podcast, there was an episode where I fully believed in that and I alluded to that. And I was trying to get the message out saying, you know, there is something to fight for. You know, we were under attack through that spiritual mind control war, especially in 2020. And now I see it more than ever. I see that we do truly have something to fight for, and that's our country our future, and if you have children, for the futures of your children. Napoleon once said, I didn't have the crown thrusted upon me. I picked it up from the gutter with my sword. And all throughout Western countries right now, I think the crowns of those countries are in the gutter waiting to be picked up. And it's going to be through men of destiny and men of consequence who choose to act and to perform what they deep down know they need to do. And that goes for our political leaders. Say what you want about Trump, but he has a chance to become a man of great consequence. Destiny seems like it's calling for him to make real change and to obliterate, I guess, what that deep state is. I'll get to that. But I do think even at a micro level, each and individuals as us as men and whoever listens, you have a choice to pick the best outcome for yourself and fight through the lies and not believe all this bullshit that you're fed and like the vaccine for one was a perfect one to avoid and to become smarter than the system and able to see the matrix and it's life or death at this point. And I wish I wasn't, but I mean, they're willing to kill you. They're willing to do anything to stay in control and keep you brainwashed. But back to my original point, which was, we do have a lot to fight for now. You know, in that monologue, he says, there's no great war. No, we are in a great war against, those who want to destroy our country, those who don't believe in the American principles, those who seek to destroy us from within. That's the real war now. And on the spiritual side of our country has lost its way because we as a society have lost our way. We've turned away from God. Our morals have been degraded. Our sense of morality isn't there anymore as a country, and therefore it reflects in our leadership at a political level. And that was always what the Founding Father said, right? You can only have a democracy if the people who vote are first Christian and believe in God and are a moral people. And once you don't have that anymore, your society degrades into what we see now. So that's what I wanted to get at with that monologue from Fight Club and just something I was thinking about on my way to work one day. About how we are in a position now, millennials especially, to become people of consequence and not put our heads in the sand and let our country be destroyed. It's gonna take people who are willing to go outside of the matrix narrative, willing to be called racist, willing to be called all kinds of things, but once you know deep in your heart what the truth is and you can fight for it no matter what brainwashed people say or people who don't know what they're doing. Because if you think that the country's in great shape and we have a prosperous future ahead of us, if things continue in the way they are, then you haven't been paying attention. So with that being said, our generation has a huge upcoming decision to make, and it could decide whether the United States of America exists as a country by time, my children grow up, even in the next 15 years, 20 years, or if we descend into a, swirling collapse into the toilet and to be flushed down and be forgotten about. All right, that's all I wanted to get to on that one. Coming up, I got way more topics to go over, like I said in the beginning, but I totally forgot what I was gonna say right now, to be honest with you. Coming up, I wanna go over the deep state, why it's actually awesome. you know, I've talked about the deep state before, conspiracy theory stuff, which is basically, in a nutshell, unelected officials or people within the confines of the government that are kind of hidden, dark figures, bureaucrat types who are unelected, who actually control politics and you know, laws and are influential in those things. at first it was, it doesn't exist. Now it's totally fine, and you're, and if you're noticing, you know, you're a white supremacist. I'll get to that coming up.
I will totally obliterate the deep state. I will fire.
Donald Trump is obsessed with the deep state.
The deep state, deep state, the deep state is destroying our nation. Either the deep state destroys America, or we destroy the deep state.
And many Republicans are widening his paranoia.
These unelected bureaucrats ruining this country.
From a cabal of security agents to
the sick political class that hates our country.
If elected, Trump's vowed to gut the federal government.
Reinstate the Schedule F executive order and, quote, fire rogue bureaucrats.
But who are these bureaucrats, and what makes them so dangerous? We needed answers, so we took a trip across America.
In 100 yards, take the exit.
In search of the people behind this threatening entity.
Yeah, so that's the intro there. Basically making a mockery of, you know, anyone who thinks that the deep state's real now. Oh, yeah, totally fine. We're just going to go visit the deep state, essentially what they're saying here. So the first time watching it, I wanted to save it. So when I watched the show, when I did the show with you guys, so let's continue.
First stop, Huntsville, Alabama. Sure looks like some nefarious government activity happens around here.
They're at the Space Flight Center.
Meet Scott Bellamy.
I am a mission manager in the Planetary Missions Program Office.
He drives a Nissan Titan 4x4. He's loved Star Trek since he was a kid.
Of course I have a favorite character. Okay. He was Captain Kirk or Mr. Spock.
And he may have quite literally saved the planet from annihilation.
Potentially.
You see, Scott managed a mission called
the Double Asteroid Redirection Test.
Okay, so go to a random guy at the flight center, and that's proving the point that the deep state is totally nefarious. Nothing to worry about here, guys. Totally fine. Greg in Fucktown, USA at the flight center. It disproves the deep state, bro. Totally. Just stop worrying about it. You're obsessed. Wow. I can't. This is actually a post from the New York Times. New York Times by Adam Westbrook and Lindsay Corse. Those are the propagandists there in D.C. New York Times. So, propagandists in New York. So, let's give it a little bit more time here.
Back in 2022, his team used your.
Okay, I can't.
Did we hear it? 15,
we got it?
All right.
This is Radhika Fox.
I am the assistant administrator for water at the Environmental Protection Agency.
She loves Pilates, making salads, and watching the Taylor Swift Eras tour.
Okay, another chick at the water plant. This is the deep state I was talking about. Totally, man. You know, when I envisioned the deep state, you know, when you pull back the curtain, I envisioned Veronica at the water plant. That's what I thought. So, if you guys didn't think that, I'm sorry, but you know, that's what I envisioned. Was, you know, Greg at the flight center, Veronica at the water plant. You know, that's the true deep state, according to the New York Times. Let's continue.
Emily.
I think we're all pretty 1989.
Oh, and she led an operation to make our drinking water lead-free in 10 years.
That's the dream.
Worried and angry about lead contamination, residents of Newark, New Jersey are demanding bottled water and answers.
Oh, she's a hero.
A neurotoxin that can cause irreversible brain damage.
Folks, irreversible brain damage.
Out of these pipes right now.
Every single American child will soon be able to turn on that faucet, and their moms and dads know that water they're drinking is clean.
When President Biden announced a nationwide plan to remove lead water pipes, Radhika's team made it happen.
Yep, that's right.
water utilities would be legally required to replace all remaining lead
pipes. She's a hero, dog.
9 million in 10 years or less.
Okay.
America. From helping 2 million victims of the opioid...
Okay, so they're just showing various people at various government stuff like the Flight Center water plant. But see, this is just how disingenuous is at this point. They know that's not the people we're talking about. You know, like when I envision the deep state, I'm thinking about whatever clown is the head of the FBI. Do you guys remember the WHO when they controlled your whole life, when they told you to stay 6 feet apart? And the director of the WHO would be a good candidate for who the deep state is. I wonder why the New York Times didn't ask for an interview on that. Instead, we get Greg at wherever the fuck he was. When I think deep state, you know, I think all the three-letter agencies, like, you know, who's running the IRS? And that affects me a lot daily, you know. Who's over there at the... you know, you want to talk to space stuff, and who's over there at NASA? You know, what's NASA doing that's taking so much tax dollars? Let's go talk to NASA. How about that? No, we get Greg at the flight center. You know, he's totally not up to nothing over there. This is just how disingenuous propagandist level of journalism we have. This is another one here. They have Nancy Alcantara, acting director for enforcement wage at our division for the Midwest Regional. Yep, she's part of the deep state. You know, if you're stupid enough to believe this stuff at this point, you're just not, you can't be saved. Like, this is obviously not what we meant about the deep state. And I'm glad I watched it when I first saw it with you guys here. But yeah, I didn't know what to expect. But for them to actually pass this off as believable is, you know, kind of crazy. You know, I would like, you know, like another one would be, you know, another deep state perfect candidate would be, who the fuck is the head of Pfizer? Who's running things at Pfizer? You know, influencing all this legislation, can buy politicians. That's what we mean by deep state. What about AIPAC? What about the Israel lobby? Who's over there doing stuff over there? Those are deep state actors, not Greg at the flight center or Veronica at the water plant. And I forgot the other chick. Yep, that's the deep state according to the New York Times. And it's a good thing, you know, they're heroes. So don't worry about it, white supremacist. You're quite racist, you know. We showed a bunch of diverse employees all across the country who are part of the deep state. How dare you question the deep state, you white supremacist? That's what I get from this article. That's what they're implying if you read between the lines here on this garbage New York Times piece. Quite a shame what the New York Times has become, but that's what it is. That's what the nation's best and brightest is producing. Quite striking investigative journalism, as I said before. You know, they don't interview or even try to, you know, really dig into the armpit of what the deep state is. Instead, they give you this candy pop for mass consumption bullshit instead of actually doing their jobs and being investigative and controversial and pushing the limits of the coverage of the actual deep state. So total failure on the New York Times. However, though, let's see what these... very smart, high IQ people at the New York Times, what their conclusion is, I guess. Let's see.
But Trump wants them working for him.
Trump wants to fire at least thousands of these people that he calls pejoratively the deep state. Schedule F would allow Trump to fire up to 50,000 of them and replace them with like-minded people.
Sometimes it's really hard to read the newspaper where, you know, you feel like we as public servants are being attacked.
Now, this doesn't mean that Americans can't have different ideas about how big the federal government should be. After all, there's no shortage of examples of real government overreach and overspend. But Trump's teaching us to expect the worst from people in government, when the truth is, they're actually some of our best.
Wow. Yep. So basically, don't fire the deep state because there are a bunch of diverse women in positions of power at a very local, wide area. So if you fire the deep state, you'll be impacting those people. And you're racist, by the way, because look how diverse they were. Man. And then this whole Trump paranoia thing too, right? It has nothing to do with Trump. I mean, it seems like they're just scared that, you know, he wants to get rid of deep state. You know, and it's funny how they say, like, I do want the government to be reduced. I mean, I think that's something that's on a lot of people's minds. The government's way too big now, obviously. They want to control every facet of your life. They just want to keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. With people like that are shown in this video, just endless amount of government employees doing miscellaneous jobs all across the country as our tax rates continue to go up and up and we continue to pay more tax. No, this is just a propaganda fluff piece to keep the government fat and basically call you a racist for even considering that the deep state is detrimental to the country. Yeah, I mean, you couldn't expect anything else from the New York Times, but I thought it was worth the laugh, and it was pretty good. I mean, this wasn't even journalism. This was just straight state propaganda. Like, you know, they handpicked all these people to interview. Like I said, they were a diverse bunch. That was obviously intended. You know, it just read like state propaganda. There was nothing breaking there. There was nothing controversial there. You know, like I said, investigating the deep state, you know, would probably almost get you killed. You would need to go undercover, do all kinds of crazy shit, you know. But this was just straight PowerPoint Microsoft slides with some idiot, you know, overdoing the over voice. So, yep, that was the New York Times puff piece on why the deep state's actually a good thing. And if you question it, you're a white supremacist. All right, coming up. What do I got coming up? Southern border, what it means to be an American. Coming up. Take a quick break. Yo! Back. Ah, man. Still feeling pretty good tonight. Hope everyone's still out there listening. Grateful for that. So, southern border. Obviously, there's an invasion going on, if you haven't been paying attention. I don't really want to get too much on the ins and outs of it. But, essentially, we are at a point now where I was thinking about it just that broad, right? Like, what it means to be an American, even for me, because obviously I'm Mexican and American, and my grandparents are immigrants to this country, and those are just facts. You know, it's not to say that I don't agree with immigration at any level, but this isn't immigration, this is an invasion of all kinds of races and creeds coming into the country. But at a base logic level, if you import unfiltered immigrants who are not willing to assimilate, pretty soon you're not going to have a country. And those are just facts. If you take the feelings out of it, you can't do what we're currently doing and expect to still live in America. Especially with people who don't understand the huge, broader principles that hold the country together, like the Constitution, you know, the ins and outs of the Founding Fathers' principles and the Bill of Rights, freedom of speech, things of that nature. You know, the three branches of government, all those types of things that people who come in here and are not held to any kind of standard will ignore. And eventually, you know, the things that hold your country together will reach a critical point and eventually will fail because of it. And I believe that's just truth, that's just facts. You know, you cannot do what we're doing and expect to have a thriving country going forward. So with all that being said, it's obvious what the game plan is. And, you know, you want to talk about the deep state. I mean, that's a good reference point now, right? It's some members of Congress now within the so quote unquote Biden regime in quotations, or whoever's running that regime, to, you know, keep the immigrant flow coming in, which is not, you know, in our best interest as Americans and people who want to keep, you know, ourselves as a country. You know, the Biden administration even wanted to sue Texas for, you know, doing stuff about letting people inside of the country. So it goes to show you where their priorities are. And those are just truths. Those are not feelings. Those are not, you know, any kind of political sway based on my personal preferences. Those are just things that are objective truths happening, where your own government is suing states because the states want to enact their own immigration laws. And it's quite obvious, you let people in, right? And just like in that beginning monologue, you let people in, you give them rights, you entrench them here, because then you get them loyal to you and keep them voting for you. Because the Democrat Party is on the decline. People are starting to wake up at a large scale, so they're going to need new mindless voters to keep them in power. So that kind of goes to the broader theme of what I want to get at, which is what it is to be an American, right? And if you're in this country, that, you know, and if you're not, if you have ancestors from a different country, or you're mixed or whatever, this is the first time in America that's ever kind of happened, because even in the first real flood wave of immigration, it was all mostly European immigration, which had the same morals and principles of the existing populace, right? Because America was started from the colonies of London and blah, 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 from the UK. And Europe at that time all had kind of similar fundamentals there, especially amongst the Anglo-Saxons of that era, right? Religion, things like that, things of that nature. There was all kind of intertwined in a sense. So it made that immigration part seamless, right? So for them to become an American wasn't all that much of a radical shift in terms of at least the most core principles. Whereas now, you know, we have unfiltered immigration, at least since the 90s, I'd say, with different cultures and creeds that are not anywhere similar to the existing populace, right? So we have all kinds of cultures here. So I guess, you know, and at even deeper level, it's a question of, do you want to be an American? And do you actually believe in what this country was founded on at a fundamental level, with the Constitution and the belief that our rights are given by God, and that man is supposed to be free, and principles of that nature? And we have to ask ourselves, or at least I find myself asking, like, I am an American and I want to be an American. But I'm not sure if a lot of other people abroad feel that way. And if you don't want to assimilate, then you got to ask yourself, you know, why don't I want to assimilate to this country? Because if you don't assimilate and if you don't want to become an American, then it's not going to work. Those immigrants of the past, those Irish and all kinds of people from Europe, came here and they became American. And it kind of reminds me even further back to my favorite show, at least at a drama level, was Mad Men, and the figure character was Don Draper. And I always kind of related to Don Draper in that sense, because, you know, his background was sketchy and he needed a way to reinvent himself. And many immigrants who came from either poor families or or fucked up situations could reinvent themselves here in America. And part of the story of Mad Men is the Wasp, right? How a bunch of people just simultaneously became Americans and became part of high class society America. You know, one day you're an your family's an immigrant, so the next generation you're a big shot in America. And what I'm getting at is they all had a choice too back then, was to forget the ties of the past somewhat and to reinvent themselves as Americans in America. And I think we're at that critical mass point with millennials and Gen Z and all the people who've come over. You know, you guys have to ask yourselves, you know, what is it to be an American now? And do I want to be an American? Because if not, then maybe this country isn't for you then. And I truly mean that. I don't mean that like as a negative way. I'm just saying if you're here and you don't want to be an American, that kind of doesn't make any sense. You have to be willing to assimilate at some point and choose a path. Because being stuck in the middle between two cultures is never going to work either. And that's not to say that you have to forget everything about your culture in the past or whatever. Or whatever ties you to. Like, it's not to say that I'm going to forget all my Mexican culture. It's not that. It's just, it's time for me to create a new path for me and my family going forward as Americans. So that my son doesn't have this issue of of crossing over between both cultures. He just has one because we've solidified that for him. He's an American. There's no need to feel bad about forgetting anything. You're an American now. And you can live in that confidence in that way going forward. And I think that's a big thing going forward for us. We're at a critical mass point of, are we willing to assimilate? And if you're not, then why not? And that's kind of the main thing I wanted to talk to you about, the immigration issue. Because even if you do want some kind of immigration, then you're going to have to agree on some type of assimilation. You're going to have to agree on that because it just won't work. So that's something that I was really, truly thinking about. And it's important to me because I struggle with it too. But I also have to be realistic about it. You know, this is my country. This is my home. And I've grown closer to that thought and hold it dear to my heart, and I feel good about it. And I just wanted to, you know, get that point across and really start to ask, you know, what is the future of this country for us at large as Americans? Especially if we're going to be surrounded by people who don't want Americans or don't want to be part of America. They want to bring their culture. They want to bring their stuff here. That's, I think, a big, broad issue coming up for us at Mass at some point if this continued immigration keeps going on. All right, coming up. What do I got here? I always forget. I, like, have it written down right in front of me, but I go on my monologues and I forget here. All right, the Israel First versus America First, featuring Candace Owens. Yeah, And that's why I kind of wanted to bring up the deep state in this one, because I do think the deep state is being found out, and it just happened to be, you know, Jewish controlled, maybe through AIPAC, stuff like that. Kind of what I alluded to before in the last episode I did. I've also done way back when, one of my first episodes, I think, was on the deep state, kind of went into, if you guys want to check that out. I think I did pretty good on that one. What I'm getting at is the deep state is a central figure now in Israel, because I'll get to the main point coming up, but that's what I want to get at. All right, let's take a quick break. Welcome back, everyone. Conservative movement, modern. This is my opinion. And I've been following this pretty closely now since about 2015. I mean, fucking, what, 70 fucking episodes in now or something? I don't know. But, you know, I went on this journey to find, you know, obviously the truth, all this bullshit, whatever, whatever. You know, and you start digging deep enough, and it all pointed back to kind of what I'm going to spew out here. You know, all right, so Daily Wire, which I listened to solely for Matt Walsh. I kind of stopped listening to Shapiro a couple years back, Michael Knowles a couple years back, Klavan even further back than that. They're just too weak for me. Very, always had kind of weird vibes, propagandist vibes, conservative ink type vibes, Israel first type vibes type of thing. Matt Walsh keeps it real for the most part, but he kind of avoids the whole Israel problem. And in culture now, we have an Israel problem, right? You know, kind of, I talked about it in the last episode, right? But, all right, here we go. Candace Owens, she announced she's finally quote-unquote free after being, I guess they're saying she wasn't let go. I mean, you guys probably read the reports. This is way late. So, but those of you who haven't, I guess they came to a mutual breakup. It's never mutual. We all know that. She was obviously fired by Ben Shapiro for, I guess she had this like back and forth with the rabbi who's like sells sex toys with his daughter, and it went south. And we're kind of just learning how perversive Jewish culture is at broad at times, and how any kind of criticism towards them is labeled anti-Semitic. You know, people are really starting to catch on to it, is what I'm getting at. But I think Daily Wire has become a really big conservative platform nonetheless, if not the biggest, due to, you know, various ventures by them into, you know, the university scene. And I mean, I followed them since maybe 2017, something like that. So I think the conservative movement broke in half. You know, it totally just blew it up. The way I could put it is the conflict is between the liberalism and conservatism. You know, the fight between liberals and conservatives has been replaced now, in my opinion. I mean, the left is so left now. Like, if you're over there with, you know, the crazy left side of it, then fine. But that's not where the true fight is anymore for the future of America. The left's on the losing side. I honestly, that's just my opinion. I don't even have to agree or disagree with it. I just know that's the losing side. The winning side is a more conservative, more conservative future in politics. The pendulum, I believe, is swinging back towards the right. It's been left for a long time. The pendulum always swings, and I think we're starting to see that now. but that conflict is no longer the thesis of the time, I guess I would put it. What I think has been replaced by is those who accept total Jewish homogeny over the culture versus those who do not. You know, you have to decide whether you're on the side of, like, Jesus Christ, you know, that kind of logos, that kind of conservative movement, or you're on the other submersive revolutionary side, which is kind of that Jewish side. It's broke up in two factions now, because you see a lot of boomer conservative war pigs all of Israel, right? And I pretty much alluded to this in the last episode, where, you know, we just can't understand it, you know, why these boomer war pigs love Israel, and, you know, we'll do anything for it, you know, even if it means, you know, essentially killing all kinds of innocent people for it. So the conservative movement has really fractured into two. And I think it's pretty clear now. I mean, if you are Israel first in any capacity, then we know we can see you now, at least in broader politics, right? You know, Candace Owens has proven that the Daily Wire is an Israel first affiliate, not necessarily an America first, wants what's best for America. Essentially, they just want the taxpayer money to keep rolling in at any cost. You just need to be a good goyim and keep paying that tax money and shut the fuck up about Israel and keep that tax money coming, because that's all they give a shit about. And everything they do in society is pointed towards keeping that money gravy train rolling. So I think the Candace Owens is... this is like more bird's eye view, right? I mean, you can go into the ins and outs of everything, but, you know, I only have so much time on this show. I'm really just trying to get through it at times. So at a broader view, I think that's what the Candace Owens split is. And honestly, she's... credit where credit's due, man. She has some big balls. I mean, she stood up to a pretty big Zionist in the Shapiro firm there and told them to fucking kick rocks. And she was going to talk about Israel and Jewish shit however she liked, which I don't think has ever happened before. And that's why I'm saying that pendulum is swinging, that overtone window of being able to question Israel and Jewish affairs in American politics at large is opening and getting farther and farther bigger towards it's going to be normalized. Whereas before, it was always considered anti-Semitic to ever question AIPAC or any kind of Jewish influence, where now it's changing and people are, I mean, I guess normies or NPCs are finally opening up to the fact that a big part of the deep state is the Israel problem. Nick Fuentes and the Groyper movement have been on this since like 2017. That was kind of underground politics. Because even that's why you probably saw Kanye with Nick Fuentes. That's the crossover I never thought I'd see. I mean, Nick Fuentes was a fringe conservative America first guy that I listened to quasi 2017 to, you know, 2021, something like that. Stopped listening to him past few years, but when I saw them get together, it made sense because they're obviously both have a gripe with the Jewish influence in American politics, and they've both been heavily canceled for it. But I think that overtone window is moving further and further towards it being mainstream, and now you're starting to question if Israel will exist as a country. I mean, it's kind of at this point, it's either Israel exists as a country or we exist as a country. You know, that's kind of where the conservative movement is now. Will we protect America at all costs, or will we continue to be plundered for tax money when we're 30 bazillion, gazillion, quadrillion in debt and we're continuing to fund stuff's interests of Israel and wars, and we just can't sustain that as a country? So it really is Israel first or America first. That's where the movement is, but at least we can see who is not America first. And that's why I'm saying I'm not even a conservative Republican. I mean, I haven't been a Republican since 2020, and I saw what cowards they all were. Even before then, I don't think I ever been lived with a Republican. I've always kind of just wanted to see what the truth versus what wasn't true. So I do believe the movement is moving towards a non-conservative Republican traditional movement. It's going towards a more truth-based movement. Which is, I'm happy to see. And people are moving away from, I mean, mainstream conservatism, which is, at this modern point, Daily Wire. Because as you can see, once you peel back of any big, high infrastructure conservative movement, there's a Jewish influence behind it. So, because the big question is, why are we doing all this for Israel? And there's really no advantage to it. And I got a couple things coming up I want to show you. All right, we'll take a quick break though.
Aid, military aid to Israel and the implied security guarantees, some explicit but many implied security guarantees of the United States to Israel, probably haven't helped Israel that much long-term. It's a rich country with a highly capable population. Like every other country, it's probably best if it makes its decisions based on what it can do by itself. And I don't see any advantage to the United States. I mean, I think it's important for each country to make its own decisions. Again, I don't think you can overstate the lack of wisdom, weakness, short-term thinking of American foreign policy leadership. These are the architects of the Iraq War, of the totally pointless destruction of Libya, totally pointless destruction of Syria, and the 20-year occupation of Afghanistan that resulted in a return to the status quo. So, like, they're of the Vietnam War, their track record of the Korean War, even going back 80 years, is uninterrupted failures. I just don't have any confidence in those leaders to improve. When was the last time they improved another country?
There you go. There's Tucker Carlson, probably one of the biggest voices in the conservative movement, on a pretty big podcast talking about there's no fucking gain for us funding Israel. If you read between the lines, that's what he's saying. Why the fuck are we funding this shit? What benefit is it to us? And there really isn't any benefit. Other than if you want to... I talk more about it in Boomer Zionism if you want to do that. So, all right. Finally, I got a couple more things coming up. Give me 1 second. Let me take a quick break. I'll be right back. Thanks.
I am team God, okay? I'm team God. I do not fear the media. I do not fear journalists. I do not fear AIPAC. I don't fear Big Pharma. What I actually fear is God. I think that one day we are all going to have to account for the things that we have done and the things that we have said, and I want to make sure that I am not a person that is parroting lies. The fear of losing your job, encouraging some people to spit out lies, I don't think that works in the end, right? I think you've got to check your priorities. And so I am team God.
That was Candace Owens. Here is Nick Fuentes.
The problem is Republicans controlling states, there are some benefits, but there's also the profound negative, which is that the Republican Party is controlled by Israel. And so we get, as a consequence, a lot of this ridiculous pro-Israel, pro-Zionist legislation. And this is where people really need to wake up and realize that the Republican Party is not our party. It is not ours. The Democratic Party certainly isn't ours. I think everybody understands that. It's quite obvious. Because the Democratic Party is very liberal, and they support things like abortion and feminism and gay marriage and illegal immigration, and they're soft on black crime. So we know that obviously that's not our party. The Republican Party is not our party either, because the Republican Party will persecute you for being America first. The Republican Party is controlled by Zionist Jews. That's why it was the Republican Party that brought us the Iraq War. That's why it's the Republican Party that set the stage for this current conflict with the Axis of Resistance in the Middle East. It was the Republican Party that tore up the Iranian nuclear deal. And that's why now it's the Republican Party passing these laws.
Yeah, so... Yeah, I mean... That's just part of what I talk about at large in my podcast, is the truth being ugly. I mean, those are things you just have to be able to admit to in order to overcome them and have real change in politics. We don't have representation. You know, it's true. The deep state is a lot of, like I said, Israel controlled. But at least we're starting to figure out who the players are, right? We know, like I said, the Overton window has shifted. Now we know about AIPAC. We know about Zionist power in American politics. You know, all he said was true. You know, I haven't, I hadn't decided on, you know, which way I want to, you know, really lean towards in the future. And it's definitely America first, you know. It's definitely, it's not even that I care about Palestine. Because, like I said, I'm not going to fake care like these people do, which is so disingenuous and fake. I just don't give a shit about any other country if my country is struggling. There's a lot of things we need to take care of here. I don't give a shit about it, and I think I already explained that in the last episode, which I don't need to repeat. But that's kind of what I wanted to signal here in our, you know, in our dystopia. We don't have representation as a government. The conservative movement, I always knew there was something wrong with it, right? Even the Ben Shapiro, you know, it's funny how the most prominent conservative platform in 2024 is, you know, Jewish Zionist controlled. And, you know, you just start to look around and you're like, shit, man, it is, you know, it really is. So, you know, that's that's a big question heading into 2024, is Israel first versus America first, and something Trump's going to have to think about too, or any politician coming into power, because a big portion of the population is waking up to it, and you know, anything Israel first, I think it's going to be controversial. All right, that wraps up today's episode. I'm going to keep trying to churn these out as much as I can. All right, talk to you guys soon.